you would, it's good to see all of you out this morning. If you'd like turning your Bibles to Revelation, the sixth chapter, we'll read the sixth seal. Maybe we can move on a little bit this morning. We've been speaking quite a while now on the fifth seal, but some 11 sermons, but we don't know how many we'll be on this one. So you just pray for us and just ask the Lord to guide us in what to say. We appreciate each one of you being out with us. Just pray for us today. Revelation 6, start verse 12. And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity of being here. We just ask you to guide each heart and life this day. We know that we've gathered for one purpose, that's to hear from heaven. We believe that you shall grant this because you promised you would. Guide us now and let each one see, Lord, what we're trying to speak about, that we may all be ready in that hour. Understand your word for what we have need of. Guide us now. Dismiss from us anything that would be a hindrance. And just let us speak thy word and let your people hear it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I thought this morning we'd try to review a little bit and just try to come up to where we are now. And all of us know the sixth seal is the tribulation period, so that's not something to just say, well, we don't know what this great thing is that we've just read, you know, and all of these things. We know the sixth seal is the tribulation period, so we'll just try to do something a little different or speak about something before we get to that part of the sixth seal, and knowing that it is the tribulation. But I want us just to go back and think a little bit now, because I want you to get what we're talking about. I want it to just be a something that I stand up here and talk, and you don't get it. The Lord willing, maybe we'll take up one day, like Brother Branham did, and just show it's in the Scriptures and things. But now, most of you that have been here for quite a while, you know that we've already spoke on the seals. We brought it through the Scriptures. The last time we started out, when we were speaking on it in 79 and on through in 80 and on in there, we brought out the Scriptures, you know, and how that the seals went through the Word and all the different things. But now we're just trying to cover something to where that we can see more about what we had said then, and then take that and put it together. And if you need to, go back and get the messages back there and listen to them about what the, you know, how they tied together and how the seals came through the Scriptures and things like that, and all the different things that we studied about. But now, this morning, I want us just to think about something, because we're talking about the seals. We've been on the seals for quite a while. And you'd think, well, looks like we'd get down into just some things, you know, about Jesus and this and that and the other. Well, I thought the seals was a complete plan of redemption. I thought it was to reveal a complete plan of redemption. All right, then as we've come down through now, you just think with us this morning. As we've come through the studying in our seals, most people can say, well, the first four seals, they can say, well, that covers down through the church ages. You know, and they'll say that's the great mystery, that down through the ages, because they can see a combat beast and they can study the ages and things. But then when it comes to the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal, then they'll say, well, that don't have nothing to do with us. You know, that's the way they'll bring it out. They'll say, well, that fifth seal, that's sold under the altar, that's Israel. And then they'll say the sixth seal, that's the tribulation period, and we're not going there, so that won't have nothing to do with us, you know. We just study the first four. Well, now, I thought the book was sealed with seven seals. I thought it was a plan of redemption that we was to get from all seven seals, not just one, but from seven seals we was to get the plan of redemption. Well, if we look at it right, then maybe we can see it, but we just say, well, what it is, I've heard people express it, you know, to this form. They'd say the first four seals covers our part of it and the journey of the bride, you know, and the coming down. And then they'd say, well, the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal, that's the Israel. So we don't get anything from under there. And only thing we get from there is to see that they are redeemed. You know, to see that Israel's redeemed. Well, now, what would that make in us? Where would that be a mystery of redemption to us to just learn that Israel's redeemed? What would that have to do with my redemption? I thought the seals was to bring a mystery of redemption unto us. What would that have to do with my redemption? If it's just that, like the fifth and sixth seal being the souls on the altar, you know, being the Jews, and then the sixth seal being the tribulation period, what would that have to do with my redemption? We need to think a little bit about it, because if we ain't careful, we would actually cut ourselves out of the Word. See, we can actually cut ourselves totally out, because the entire Bible was to Israel. Is that true about the Bible? This Bible is to Israel. It speaks of a Gentile bride, but the essence of the entire Bible is to Israel. All right, as Brother Brown said, it's a Jewish book. It's written that way. That's why it's hard to understand. Well, then, what would be, see, we can actually take ourselves totally out of the Word just by not thinking about what we're saying or thinking on the seals. See, we think, well, what we want to know is just contained in the first four seals, and that's all we need, so we don't need to know anything about the fifth and the sixth, you know, and all like that, because that's the tribulation period or the souls on the altar. Well, would it be possible that we could just leave ourselves out of the mystery? Would it be possible now? That's what came to me up in the night to something to put in with this. I had to rewrite my notes where I could speak on this morning. Is it possible that we could just leave ourselves out of the whole mystery of redemption? Because we say, well, the first four seals, now that we understand that. We drawed it out on the board, and we saw the entire ride down through the ages, and we talked about the church ages and what they brought out and the things and the Word being revealed. And so it come right on down, you know, and we saw that. Then we can see the fifth seal, that's sold on the altar, that don't have anything to do with us. And then the sixth seal, that's the tribulation, that don't have anything to do with us, that's over yonder. Well, now, let's just think about something this morning. What about when we spoke on the first seal? What does the first seal reveal? The Antichrist. The mystery of iniquity. All right, then reading your first seal, you'll hear the prophet talking like this, that under that first seal, the mystery of iniquity, that when that seal actually breaks, it reveals the man of sin. And where will that man of sin be revealed at? in the tribulation after the church is gone. When is the man of sin actually made known? When does he sit in the temple of God showing himself to be as God like the scripture speaking about? It's over in the tribulation after the church is done gone. Well, why don't we just leave ourselves out of that seal then? See, then we take the second seal and we showed how that it was killing down through there, you know, and then we found a scripture under there where Brother Brown said, they that take the sword shall die by the sword. And then he gets over talking about the fifth seal Jew, and when he covers them of the soul under the altar, he said, they took the sword there and they died by it. They killed the Messiah, they had to be killed. Well, let's just take ourselves out of that seal then. And then we have the third seal that shows the dark ages, and when will it be the darkest of all times? Is when you come over there in the tribulation period, that even the moon won't give its light, and things like that will happen. Sure would get dark there when they kill 144,000 and the two witnesses, and there's not even one speck of Holy Ghost-filled saints upon the earth living at that time. You think that's where it would come down to, wouldn't it? If the 144,000 are killed, the two witnesses killed, there's not one person on the earth at that time as a corporal human being that would have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, surely then that gets to the darkest time then, don't it? Down through the ages, they was being killed out, but yet still, there was just a little light left, wasn't it? A few people holding on. See, then we could just leave ourselves out of that seal. Then we know the fourth seal reveals the battle of Armageddon. And the battle of Armageddon is over in the tribulation period, so that would just leave us out of all seven seals then, wouldn't it? See, that would just put us totally out of all the seals then. Well, then why would there be all the trouble and all the talking and all the preaching and all the things? Why would the prophet even have to preach the seals? Why wouldn't he do this like he did on the trumpets when he come down to the place? He said, these trumpets, he couldn't understand them, you remember? And he prayed about it and sought the Lord, seeking why he couldn't preach them, and finally it come to him that the trumpets was to Israel and not to the church, and he preached a message called the Feast of the Trumpets to explain to us that it was not to us. He didn't have to preach the trumpets to us then, did he? They wasn't to us. He said he'd already preached them under the sixth seal because that was where it was contained at. Well, see, if we ain't careful, we can just leave ourselves totally out of the whole thing. See, then let's don't just start out saying, well, this seal here don't pertain to us. You know, that don't pertain to us there. It don't have anything to do with us. And see, people would think and say, well, if that sixth seal is a tribulation seal, then we'd have to be in the tribulation to see it. Well, now, I don't think that way either, do you? When that was broke to the prophet, was it broke to him? Did the sixth seal tribulation period, did it break to the prophet? There'd be nobody to argue with that, would it? Well, then, if it opened to the prophet, was he in the tribulation? That was 1963. When that seal broke to him, was he in the tribulation? No, he saw it by spiritual revelation, didn't he? He saw what each seal was by spiritual revelation. All right, then wouldn't the seal be to us then a spiritual revelation unto us? Then wouldn't that compare with what the Holy Ghost is, that it's the seal? Doesn't the Holy Ghost bring a spiritual revelation to us? That his brother Woodby was speaking last Sunday to us about Jacob, that I wasn't back there with Jacob, but yet by spiritual revelation I can see what was back there because the word has been preached. Well, see, then that's what I see in the seals now. I don't see that we have to be in the tribulation to understand that the sixth seal will be the tribulation. We don't have to be up there as souls under the altar to understand the fifth seal, Jews souls under the altar. Neither do we have to be back under with Peter and them when they first started out down through the church ages. You know, I'm not Peter and them, but I mean in the first church age when it started out and the seals begin to come down through that way, I don't have to be back there either. I'm here. And then by spiritual revelation, I see what the seals are. Because if we don't, still, like I said, we'd leave ourselves totally out. Because you could take the first seal, leave yourself out as a man of sin being, you know, it being revealed over there. That'd leave you out at the second seal, the witnesses being killed and the two prophets. And then the third seal, the dark ages, you'd leave yourself out of there. And then Armageddon, you'd leave yourself out of there. Then the fifth seal, souls on the altar, you'd leave yourself out of there. And the sixth seal, tribulation period, you'd leave yourself out of there. And the seventh seal would be the coming of the Lord. And the coming of the Lord goes over there and finally climaxes when he comes to Israel in the tribulation under the sixth seal that brings him on the scene. That we'll get to later and talk about some. But see, we'd leave ourselves out of everything then. But yet not trying to put element-wise things on the seals, but to see what the seals reveal of the plan of redemption and not try to study the sixth seal as the tribulation and just leave it to tribulation and say, well, that reveals the tribulation. Well, that wasn't the mystery of redemption. All the scholars taught it, and I'll read it right out of the book here, Brother Branham, on the sixth seal. He says, right here, he said, they all taught it in Matthew 24. Said they taught that as the tribulation. Well, then where would it be a mystery of redemption to just know the tribulation? Where would it be a mystery of redemption to know the souls under the altar were Jews? Where would it be a mystery of redemption to know Armageddon that happened over there one of these days? Where would it be a mystery of redemption to see the dark ages and see what that is? Where would it be a mystery of redemption to see the two witnesses and all of them killed over there? Or see the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God? Where would it be a mystery of redemption in that? See, it can pass right among us and us miss it by not paying attention to what's being said. All right, then let's don't put time-wise and all this, that, and the other. You mentioned sixth seal. Everybody say, tribulation. What about where Brother Branham said it was the judgment seal of the Word? Was Jacob and all of his troubles, which you bring out under the sixth seal to show the seal, was that? Was he in the tribulation? Now, he was under a tribulation. He was under a trouble for the time that only spoke of the great tribulation that would come. Because there's never been on this earth what you see under this sixth seal when we finally get to it, that the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth. Never has it been that way. There's never been a time that the wrath of God was poured on the earth. Even back there in the days of Noah, man rode up and went over and come right back down, started again. You can call that wrath of God. That's all right, but there was somebody rode up and went over and come back down. But this time, nobody rides over and comes back down that way. See, it's wrath poured out under the sixth seal. And that's why I said, while we're here at this point, just looking at this seal, I've been trying all week to find a place to start or to stop or do something. And not being able to find anything. And then studying a little bit on it yesterday afternoon, last night, And then it just seemed to come on down to this way, to approach it from this way. And I wish people would listen to what's said. Because I know I've been accused of everything in the book of talking about the seals. But I've tried to talk about them in the way that we could understand them. The way that we could see it. Because we've got to see the mystery of redemption from under it, not just that the seal is the sixth seal is the tribulation, and we understand that. In that sixth seal, God comes on the scene. You can read it right out of the seal book. Well, then there must be a spiritual application somewhere to the church that if she sees that correctly, God will ride right on the scene to her right here. But yet, now just think. We go along haphazardly, not thinking about what's going on. We just, you know, just play along and come to church. Be good. Well, now there's no mystery of redemption in that. That's just being morally good. That can be the Holy Ghost that helps you be good, but you can be morally good and come to church and do good. Are you catching the revelation of what we're talking about? You got to use natural words and terms to speak of anything. Then you can use and draw out four seals in the church ages and show how the word come down through there, how the seals broke and reveal the word. But see, then what would the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal reveal unto us? See, then what we're looking for is the spiritual revelation, not the actual happening. Because I can show you every one of them. I just went through it here and proved it to you. That would take every one of the seals away from us. If we're trying to put it on some time element or happening or events, instead of the revelation of the Word, we'd never see what the prophet was talking about, none whatsoever. And we'd be just like the people was, you remember a few weeks ago when I was talking about redemption was over when the seals broke? And we'd spoke in a minister's meeting about that and spoke it just as plain and clear as we did right here, that we wasn't talking about for everybody redemption. Oh, we were talking about when the seal breaks to you, redemption's over to you. When they broke to Brother Branham, it showed him already redeemed. Went to the minister's meeting and spoke on that. Brother got up behind and said, well, I don't know. Brother Dale's got some good points, but said, we don't know where it's over with or where it ain't over with. It looks like it's over with and it looks like it ain't over with. He didn't know anything of what I said. I said, when the seals break to you, redemption's over to you because it shows you redeemed. All right, then we know for a surety that just because the seals are broke to us, it doesn't mean we're in the tribulation. But it means we get the spiritual revelation of the seals. As I said now, it doesn't just mean that we see Israel redeemed under the fifth and sixth seal and we say, well, boy, that's the mystery of redemption. Because half of your denominational system taught that there'd be 144,000 come over there or Israel would be saved in the tribulation. Well, then that's not the mystery that way that we're to look at. What we're to look at is something that has something to do with us in our redemption. Something personally to me. A revelation from the Word to me then would be it. not just a understanding that I have that Israel's redeemed. That doesn't redeem me. It takes something from what Israel, how they are redeemed. Then God can use how they are redeemed or what happens under a specific seal. He can use that to show me my redemption. He can bring that out to show me where I'm at. From that seal that actually breaks to them and the literal breaking of it. All right, now, let's just look at something now. If we get the spiritual application, they get the literal happening of a lot of the things, but we get the spiritual application of the seal, then it would be very easy. Now watch, it'd be very easy then to see that what we spoke of the other day was right. That the first four seals show us already redeemed. Because we could see the seven church ages as they came down and seen that it was the Word in each church age. You remember that message? It would show the Word in every church age as it came down. Well, surely then we could see that we're part of the Word. That we're not an addition. I kept putting that in there, kept saying it over and over, that we're not an addition to the Word. We are the Word made manifest. And that's what the seal breaks to reveal. Or we would be an addition to the Bible, and you can't add one word to it. All right, then we can look at the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal. Say like the fifth and the sixth of what happens to Israel and that period of time. We can look at their redemption, and it'll show us something in our redemption. That's what I'm driving at. That we can look at their redemption and it'll show us something in our redemption that will be of importance unto us. So the first four seals shows you already redeemed the Word. Because when the fifth seal breaks, it's a heavenly scene. Leaves right off the earth and gone. The bride's done gone at that period of time when you see the fifth seal sold under the altar. You remember that? Alright, then the fifth and sixth and seventh seal then would show us how we are redeemed. You see, the first four shows you something that has went on during the time. How Luther was redeemed. It showed what happened to showing him redeemed and coming down. But then the fifth, sixth, and seventh will have something to do with showing us how we are redeemed. That we saw from the fifth seal that the fifth seal showed a revelation of grace. You remember that? That God saves a people that kill him for trying to save them. And told him to hang him on a cross out there. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. All right, then we don't want to just take that fifth seal and just throw it over yonder somewhere then, do we? Because it shows grace to Israel. All right, then we see ourselves in that mystery of redemption. I hope you did last time I spoke on it. That we could see ourselves under the fifth seal mystery of redemption as that we are saved by grace. Through faith, that not of works, lest any man should boast. We went through the Scriptures. That if Israel was back there and we could see they were saved by grace, you know, and coming on down through the church ages and all, then surely we could see that we're saved by grace. All right, then not trying to take a seal in a church age and laying them together then, as I said a while ago. Not trying to make an element out of a seal or a time or this, that, the other. To me, the seven seals are so simple, and if people could see it in one elementary statement, that it is what Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost had sealed up in the Word. That the seven seals was what the Holy Ghost had sealed up in the Word. And the Holy Ghost itself is a seal. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the seal. All right? Then in that, you would never understand what was being said about the seals. You would miss that point. But see, we went through how that we're saved by grace. And that the greatest revelation of grace, we tied justification, because it said we're justified by grace. Being justified freely by His grace, we covered the Scripture. All right, then the fifth seal would show you. See, I said it, the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal will show you how you're redeemed. The first four shows you already redeemed because it brought you through the church ages right down to where that we are now, and then would go on to Armageddon and the tribulation and show how Israel's redeemed through the tribulation and going on through there. Because when the seal breaks, you are already redeemed at that time. He always does it and then reveals it. All right, then we think about the mystery. The greatest mystery that's ever been in the Word is that the just shall live by faith. See, then we tried to speak yonder a long time ago on how the fifth seal revealed justification, the sixth seal reveal sanctification, and then the seventh seal revealed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And people, they thought, well, boy, they really are trying to get something from under a seal that we ain't even there. Like the sixth seal tribulation and things. Well, I was trying to explain what I'm still trying to explain now. That we're not looking at time-wise and different things like that. We're looking at the mystery of redemption. And then there's a mystery in redemption that Luther didn't understand of the just shall live by faith. If he had caught it correctly, he'd went to rapture right there. But see, he couldn't catch it. There was a mystery of redemption that Wesley couldn't catch of sanctification. And I suppose we think the Pentecostals came along and understood the mystery. They didn't even understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They got it, they didn't even understand that. Because they cabbaged down right there on that and stopped, didn't they? They thought they had the birthright and they thought that's all they needed and they was ready to go. They didn't understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost, did they? Alright, then the seals would reveal a mystery to us. And the mystery revealed under the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal, you'll see, simply comes out to be a revelation of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you go in the prophet's message and see if that don't fit it. You show me in the prophet's message if that don't fit it, because everything that prophet ever spoke of was justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It didn't matter where he was speaking, on the future home of the bride, on the seals, or where he was speaking from. He never left his original because he said, I've taught that from the beginning of justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. He never left it. Then there'd have to be a mystery there of that. Now, what's your mystery fit so perfect if you'll get a seal in a church age out of your mind and try to plant this and fix that? As Brother Branham said on Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, compare an age and a seal. He said, like Luther's coming out. Luther caught the message of the just shall live by faith, but he didn't know that he was part of the rapture. That's what we've got to realize, that they couldn't realize, that the rapture is already now in process. They just caught the message of how for the hour they were living. Look then how carefully it was placed, that God thought so much of it, that when he put it in the seals and things, to compare a seal in the church age, the fifth seal reveals a message of grace to Israel that they are redeemed even though they don't want it. What does the fifth church age reveal? What was the message that went forth in the fifth church age? Martin Luther preaching a message called the just shall live by faith apart from man's works. The Catholic Church had got it so tied up into works and forms and rituals and ideas until God sent a man on the scene, and when he did, he was bringing a message called the just shall live by faith. Well, then in that message was a message of grace. Because you're saved by grace through faith, that not of works. But the Catholic had it sold down so much into works till that's all they had was works. But we want the spiritual revelation of what it's talking about. See, then we can see that that fifth seal does compare with that fifth church age. Then you read on justification, you read the invisible union of the bride of Christ. And watch what the prophet says, how you come to a place of justification. See, then we can see there was a mystery of justification that Luther didn't understand. There was something that Wesley didn't understand. But here in our day, we see the mystery. But yet everybody wants to take, say, well, that seal don't reveal nothing to us. That's just the souls on the altar. Well, then we'd miss the whole mystery of redemption then. But in the entire book of redemption, there is nothing more than justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is no more in the Bible because adoption is just more of the Holy Ghost. Rapture is just more of the Holy Ghost. Rapture is the Holy Ghost taking us out of here. There's not another work that goes in there. There's only the three works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, then you go on to adoption. That's just the Holy Ghost working a work. You go on to the headstone. That's just the Holy Ghost doing the work. You look at Brother Branham teaching and he could talk about the Holy Ghost anywhere in the pyramid. He could talk about the Holy Ghost on future home of the bride. He could talk about the Holy Ghost in every way and have no problems with it. And when he get to the great mystery of the headstone coming to church, he'd talk about the Holy Ghost. See, because the Holy Ghost, you don't go any further than the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is as far as you go because the next steps are just more working of the Holy Ghost. See, it's not something addition. It's the Holy Ghost Himself, the life of Christ, doing the work. All right, then we look back now and compare the fifth seal and the fifth church age, and we can see that it comes right down together. They compare right together. All right, then we'll get to it later and see in Matthew 24 that it's right there in the Scriptures. Well, then how could we be missing it then? That you could see in the Scriptures it would be right there, like the prophet put it. Then you'd see in the church ages it would be right there. The sixth seal, what does it reveal? The tribulation period. And it brings God on the scene. Sanctification brings God on the scene to you. All right, then what was the message to the sixth church age? What was the message Wesley brought to the sixth church age? See if they don't compare right down to the very end. What was the message brought to the seventh church age? It's got to compare to the seventh seal. What was the message brought to the seventh church age? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. What's the seventh seal bring? God is here then. It's the coming of the Lord. All right, then, seeing it that away and not trying to put a time here and a time there and all the elements in there, but just look at the mystery of redemption, then the Bible can be understood. Then the seals can be understood. Then the mystery of redemption can be understood. You say, yes, but Brother Dale, I've already been justified. I done that when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been sanctified. And I've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now what do you want me to do? Just go on from there. Just keep on going from there. You don't change nothing. But a prophet like Brother Branham could take a message like even the inner veil. are in arrest in 1956. He knew that much about it then. That he took in 1956 on the inner veil, listen to it or read the book. He took that message, he went outer court, inner court, holy of holies. He said that's justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then he turned around, he took the same individual now that had went through them three processes, and he started right over with the same individual in the outer court. And he went right back through the inner court and the Holy of Holies with the same individual. So what was he teaching? The stature of a perfect man, adoption, messages like that. Well, when we get to the seals after coming all of that time, when we get to the seals, are we going to jump off onto something else? No, I know what we'll do. We'll jump off like one of the brothers did in the minister's meeting, and he started talking about when the first seal broke, he saw himself as a white horse rider riding out. And then he went on a little bit, he said, and when that second horse broke, said, I saw myself on that red horse riding out. He said, then in a little bit it broke, and I saw myself on the black horse. And he said, then it broke, and I saw myself out there as death. Well, now that's not in the message. Because when the seal broke, the Lamb was standing there with the book in his hand, which is the bride of Jesus Christ standing there. But I haven't heard that, brother, even after I brought it out in the minister's meeting. He didn't get up behind and say, well, Brother Dale corrected me. No, he went away with his feelings a little hurt if he was awake enough to hear it. I kept telling him, say, wake up, brother, you know, wake up. He was sitting there sleeping so much till he didn't catch it. I hope he hears this tape. Maybe he'll be awake when he hears it. Because you can't see yourself as the Lamb and with the Lamb with the book in it and the white horse rider going that way. Because it's a mystery of redemption, not a mystery of the Antichrist. It's a mystery of us being redeemed. Then there's no more to redemption than justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now watch that as we go on into sanctification under the sixth seal. When we get to it eventually, we'll cover the natural part of the seal probably first. Then we'll get into a message there and watch where the word's planted at. And watch and see if it don't comply exactly just like justification does to your fifth seal. Watch it. If it don't fit, come tell me about it. We'll sit down and talk about it. Because something has got to happen to us, but we can't take this Bible and say, well, throughout the Old Testament now, it was just speaking of Jesus Christ, and we can take the Holy of Holies and all that. We can take it in Ezekiel where it said, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit, and then I'll put my spirit in you. And we preach justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then we get over in the New Testament, and we say, well, you're justified by faith, you're sanctified by the blood, and then you're born again by the light. Then we get over in the seal, we change to something else. Where would you get that idea at? You don't change to something else. You go on with what you've got. That's where the people's missed it at. Brother Branham said on the seventh seal, he said, go on with your same simple message. He said, it's gone from you now, and you can't see it. You remember that on the seventh seal? He said, I'd hoping somebody'd raise up this week and say, I see it. Then in a little bit he told him, he said, it's gone from you now, and there's no way for you to catch it. But he said, continue on with your same simple message. All right, then we want to go somewhere else, don't we? You know, we want to show something else. But now, if there's anything that I've ever tried to speak about a Mother's Day, it would be on this order. Because God wants to come among us here. And the Bible tells for the mothers to teach the younger. The elder women to teach the younger women. They're supposed to do that. What are they supposed to teach them? You can go back to the washing of the pots and all if you want to, and that might be all right. They're not supposed to teach them how to wash dishes and things like that when you're biblically speaking. That's all right. That ought to be done because a mother's a mother. You ought to teach your daughters to be good and morally good and clean and honorable because that's a motherly thing. You ought to do that. But that's not to me what it's talking about when it says for the elder to teach the younger. Teach them the revelation of the word. Teach them how to be a good mother in the word. Not just teach them how to not live wrong. That's in there too. Don't get me wrong. That's part of it. That ought to be taught too. The mothers ought to teach the daughters what it all is of life and things like that. Save a lot of trouble down the road somewhere if it was done, wouldn't it? But no, we just kind of let it pass and hope they'll catch things. And they generally do. They catch it generally on their own somewhere. But yet, listen. You ladies are a type of the church. Well, then the elder ought to teach the younger all the way down to where that you can see Christ among you. Teach them the revelation of the word that they would see Christ among them and how to follow Christ. See, then in that, we can see that the seals would bring out Christ. That's what it's supposed to bring out. It wouldn't matter who's doing the talking or what's going on. We're supposed to see Christ with the Holy Ghost, and that's what your seals reveal. Because, as I said, the first four shows you are redeemed because it shows the seven church ages and shows down through there. Take the first four seals and put them down there and look at the church ages. It shows it right there. That's what we brought out the message. Why did Brother Branham start on the first church age, you know, when he said it? He said, this is the way it was brought out to him. He said, here the writers start out, and we start right here with it. He didn't go back to Genesis and start with it. Although one seal will tie the entire Bible together, he went right to the church age. Because the rest of the word had done been written, but the church ages hadn't been made alive, had they? But now, where we're living now, they've done been made alive. Because we're in the seventh church age, the word's done been made alive. Now what do we do? Are we going to jump away from the word being made alive and the seal showing that and then try to get something else? No. We go right into why or showing how we are redeemed. One showing us we are redeemed. The other showing us how. How are we redeemed? Justification. Sanctification. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The sixth seal showing you grace. Showing you a people saved that don't deserve it. The sixth seal showing you sanctification. That the world goes through a sanctifying process during the purging. And then the seventh seal shows you the coming of the Lord. And the coming of the Lord is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The prophet never changed that. That was his message. And he held true with it all the way through. But now, we got to this point the other week, and I want you to think on it of what I'm talking about now. I don't believe you got what I was saying the other week. That he can actually be among us and thus fail to recognize his presence. You remember that was the last message we spoke on. I don't believe you really got what I was talking about on it. I wasn't talking about me or you or anybody like that. I was talking about the living God among us. That his presence is here among us. He would have to be in the breaking of the seals. Or they're not breaking to us. That's just simply that form. But if they're breaking to us, then God would have to be here. Because he's the only one that can break it. Listen, church. If we look at it correctly, then we won't look at it as time elements and different things like that. We'll look at just like John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. That John saw that Lord Jesus Christ. And those seals he knew revealed the mystery of redemption. Because he was crying for a redeemer to come forth and take a book.
And when he did, it come right forth to him and took the book out of his hand. You know, the one sitting on the throne. But what was that? That was John's revelation of what was going on. Do you have enough revelation that God could come to you and take you and reveal you to somebody else? John was 2 years on the Isle of Patmos receiving the book of Revelation. It wasn't a 15-minute thing, just a little vision that happened. Then it was John's own personal revelation that God had to deal through. I wish I could get it down to where that we were talking about it at work the other day, where you could see it here, what I was trying to say to them. John was crying for a Redeemer. He'd done been born again. I tried to preach that to you for you to see it. He'd been born again 60 years. But when he come to that place of seeing the book and knowing somebody had to come forth, John was crying for a Redeemer just like everybody else is wanting a Redeemer. But when the Redeemer come forth, it was something to do with John's own revelation of what was going on. The Lamb taking the book, revealing the seals to you, don't have to do with Brother Branham's revelation or John's revelation. It has to do with your revelation. It's what God has revealed to you personally. Something about your life. Have you got to the place, because that's what we got down to here, have you got to the place that now that it's either the Redeemer comes on the scene or you're dead? Do you realize that's where you're standing? That's where I'm standing today? Unless God comes on the scene very shortly, then we're gone. You think about it. Unless God comes to us here, we're gone. What's your sixth seal reveal? Tribulation? How about California out yonder the other day when one whole city was destroyed? By a major earthquake. When California will slide under. Read that seal over again and see what it's talking about. We'll read it tonight and all we keep on going through it, seeing the natural parts of it. But just think about it. What are we sitting on? Everybody wants to go backwards. There comes a big train. They want to go back to the days of the old steam engine. But they're not wanting to go back far enough. They're not wanting to go back to the Word. They want to go back to some idea. Amen. But see, it's your revelation. He reveals a mystery of redemption to you, how you're redeemed. It's something in our revelation that has to do with it, church. My faith has got to produce a lamb to take the book for me. Oh, that happened 2,000 years ago. Well, go back that way, just like the tribulation, and be on out yonder later, too. Let them have their day. We have ours later. They make their noise now. We make ours later. They can have their fun. They won't go back to the old days. But you say the Lamb took the book 2,000 years ago. Well, now listen, church. Was it 2,000 years ago that it took the book? Or was it before the foundation of the world that it took the book? Or is it when you see it by revelation, in your own revelation, is that when he takes the book? Which one is it now? Brother Branham says we can look back or we can look forward and we miss it. But he said we better look at what's going on now. What does it matter to you if the Lamb took the book 2,000 years ago, if you can't see it by revelation now? What would it matter if the seals break to show the tribulation over yonder? What would that matter to us unless God shows us something from it? But you think, now what did we wind up on the last message talking about? That the presence of the Lord was among us and we had missed it. that His presence was among us and we had missed Him. And that every time in the Bible anybody came to the place that they saw the presence of the Lord. Now watch this go right into the sixth seal. We'll pick it up tonight right from this very thought that I'm putting my finger on at the end of the page. We'll pick it up tonight and just go from right there and watch the seal come open from that. That every time anybody in the Bible ever recognized the presence of the Lord, what did it say? Isaiah saw it one time and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Moses saw it and said, how can a man live? He took off his shoes. But yet, what do we do in the presence of the Lord? What do we do when we're in His presence? See, every person that ever saw it cried out, Lord, help me, I'm unclean. Every time anybody come to that place, they said, Lord, forgive me, I'm unclean, help me. But yet the Lord comes among us here daily, and we don't even think anything about it. That's why I tried to preach that message from there in Luke, where the little woman recognized His presence. She got her sins forgiven. But Simon the Pharisee, he didn't recognize the presence of the Lord, and his sins was bound unto him. Wasn't it? See, those seals are not something we can't understand. If it is, then the prophet was in vain jangling. But he said we would understand it and come to a place to see it. But can you see your own life now? What would it do you any good, church, to see Brother Branham's life and say, boy, ain't it great how the seals done that for him? That's why I've always tried to preach it personal, why I try to keep it down to justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's things we can understand in our own selves. That's something we can see in our own selves. But what does the religious world do? They come to church, they claim to be religious, they're at church this morning singing, oh, how I love Jesus, hearing somebody preach a sermon, and then what happens tomorrow? Pentecostal man working right next to me this week, big, great religious man and all, got a little upset at his job, and there's a few words run out of his mouth. Man at work used to tell me, and it's a little comical in a way, but it wasn't. He used to tell me, say, if you hit your finger, said you're supposed to say pee hockey poop, you know, like that, when you hit your finger instead of cussing. I said, well, what are you going to do that for? Why don't you just holler, oh? You know, that was something for him to not say the vulgar word. Well, there's no difference in saying that and saying the vulgar word. There's not a bit of difference in it. But see, in the presence of the Lord, do you realize He's with you all the time? No, we don't think about that, do we? We don't think about the presence of the Lord. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We think God is off up yonder somewhere not keeping a record of what's going on. Well, listen, we're preaching here even more than thinking down through the ages. Down through the Bible time, they realized the presence of the Lord was among them and cried out for help for a sinful person, because a mortal human being can't stand in the presence of an eternal God without crying out. But yet there, they done that. Here we are claiming to know what the seals are. How many's cried out lately, Lord, forgive me? How many of us has cried out, are we just like they are out there in the organization? We come to church on Sunday. We have a good time. And then we go out during the week and live like the devil. Well, now, I don't want that kind of religion. I'm sorry. I don't want that kind. If that's the kind God has got, I don't want it. That's as honest as I can say it to Him, and He knows it's honest. I don't want that kind of religion. I never lived that kind of religion when I was in the Baptist. I was after them people continually while I was there, just like I am me and you now. But I want to live to where that I can speak to others about Christ. I want to live before people that they can have confidence. It's like I told a man the other day. I said, brother, what would happen if me and you was out over yonder in the woods and you got snake bit? Now you think about it, church. What would happen? Would you have confidence in that person that maybe you work with or around or anything else? That if you was lying, dying somewhere in a car wreck, would you have confidence to turn around to him and say, now, you're a Christian. I want you to pray for me. Would your neighbor have confidence in you? Or would they see you just in a fit of rage, or the family see you that way, or see you living all kind of life? Would they have confidence in you if they was dying to come up and say, would you pray for me? What if he's out over yonder on the backside of the woods somewhere and get snake bit? That's what I asked him. I said, brother, would you have enough confidence in me to say, Brother Dale, I've got confidence in you. Would you pray for me? Or would you have to look at me and say, well, I'd ask, would you pray for me, but I don't believe you're going to get no contact because I had never been able to see Christ in your life yet. I'm honest. I'd have to say that. Why don't you be honest? There's people in this message that I wouldn't want to pray for me if I got bit by a snake. I ain't meaning that in disrespect. I mean it in truth. Their lives had never lived right before me to where that I could see them and see Christ and say, all right, now there's God in that. That man saw God in Brother Branham when he was bit by that snake down there in the Okefenokee Swamp, you remember? And he prayed for him and it stopped right there. There is something to do with confidence in a person. And I can't come up here and preach to you not to steal and then me go out and cheat somebody next week. Now, I can't do that. If I do, then I make a mockery of the gospel. That's what I'm making. And see, the sixth seal will come right down, and you watch it. That sixth seal will come right down into our lives, and if we see it right, in our own personal experience, we can come to a place that's so sanctified till God can come on the scene. Now let's just wait till we get that place in the seal and we'll see it. That he can actually come on the scene because that the person is so sanctified. You know, we've all taught that there's a place in God that you can reach that you won't sin. Well, would there be any hindrance in me saying that there'll be somebody come to that place? And I believe that we've come to that place. That God can come on the scene. But now listen, your own personal experience will stop him from coming to you. Your own life will stop him from coming to you now. It can come to the brother or sister right next to you, and it'll stop it from coming to you because you'll condemn your own self. What does the Bible say? If our hearts condemn us not. Now don't tell me. I'm a human being. Don't tell me that we can live in sin and not be condemned. Uh-uh. You're not a mortal human being if you think you can. Christ is the revelation of the entire Word. That's what I wanted us to think about on the seals today, is that not that it's something that can't be reached, not that it's something that we can't attain. It is something that can be reached. It's Christ, the Word. But then we don't have to go try to figure out what it is. Just go on with the same message. I'm looking at this much. And I'll speak it here, and I've already spoken it, and I believe it'll come to pass. Let's see if it does. I'm looking from what I see in the message. And the way the prophet taught it and how that it is in the message, I'm looking to a day that if time goes on very much longer, this church will be full. Let's see if it'll happen. Because people will start moving back into that realm again. And the denominations, Brother Branham said they'll come out of them denominations one of these days by the thousands. But he said it'll be too late. Now, do you think that I would stand in this pulpit? Do you think Brother Branham would stand here today until you say, well, redemption's over now, church, so we won't let nobody else in the doors, Brother Collie, and Brother Darty, you stand on the front, and Brother Collie on the back, and don't let nobody else in the doors, because the door's done closed, and there's no redemption for them. Do you think any human mortal would do that? I'll go right on preaching, and you tell me you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'll go right on believing you. But she'll done be over one of these days, and Brother Branham said they'll think they're getting the Holy Ghost when they're not getting it. But do you think I'll be the one that'll tell them they ain't getting it? No, I'll be standing preaching just like I'm preaching right now to you and talking to you and trying my best to help you. Because if I make one foolish virgin out of them, that'll be worth that. If this church is filled full of sinners that come in here weeping for salvation, then I'll preach salvation greater than I've ever preached it in my life. Because if they can be one person come to a place that they could give their life for what they hear, they wouldn't be born again going to rapture, but if they see the message and catch it and can give their life for the gospel in the tribulation and refuse to take the mark of the beast, then it'd be worth every effort. See, it won't be just a quit. I've always looked at it that way. There'll be an upswing of this thing, and she's fixing. She's starting in a lot of places. And there'll be an upswing, and you'll start seeing it, and before long, the church will start filling up. Because people will be concerned. Let's see if it happens. Because the Word is Christ. Christ loves everybody, don't he? George, would you come? Let's stand together. Father, we ask you to take these words. We know that they're jumbled in every way and all, but we know they'll reach their place too, and that they'll come forth, and that we'll be standing in that hour to be married to Jesus Christ, because the bride hath made herself ready in the Word. Thank you for your presence here among us, and just guide us. If there's any here, Lord, that are lost, save their souls. If there's any here that need to follow thee, Lord, on into the furtherment of the Word, let it be you that would guide each one. Save us all by your grace, in Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn, Just As I Am. If anyone has a need, the altar's open. And you may not never hear me, because I don't think it ought to be said a lot. You may not never hear me say that again about that I expect the church to fill up, but you just watch and see if it don't. Some will be coming in, will be able to be saved, because you know how we taught redemption's over for the person when God reveals it to the person, not that this redemption's over like that. That wasn't what the prophet was talking about. You watch them come in. Some will be saved, some won't. We should be honest enough to admit where we are, but yet still have grace enough to go on and preach and say, listen, even if I knew you couldn't be saved, I wouldn't quit preaching to you. I'd tell you the truth, and then when it come to the time or the hour, it would be in there, and you could give your life for the gospel. There'll be some that cannot be in the bride because they won't catch the revelation. The bride is the revelation. She's the royal seed of Abraham. But you and I have a part to do in being the royal seed of Abraham. We've got to receive the word. Let's just sing this if anyone has a need. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. Anyone has a need now? Just ask. Jesus.
I am in grace.
Brother has a physical need, but a spiritual also. Let's just pray with him. Believe the word. Father, we lay our hands upon our brother and we give you this sickness, knowing that Satan would try to hinder him. And to hurt him, we ask you to take it away. We believe your word. We believe it shall be done because our brother has begun. We agree with him that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that you heal the first person by believing your word. Now you heal this one by believing your word. And give him also spiritual uplift in his life, in Jesus' name. Anyone else? Lift our hands toward heaven, knowing that we bow our heads to the earth that we came from. But yet, there's a connection between that spirit that raises its hand and believes the word and our sister, her spirit. We believe your word that you shall give her the very desires for her. Grant it to her. Grant her understanding in Jesus' name. Give her blessings, always honor among her name. Father, just take away this burden. You place the blood of Jesus Christ in this sickness. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Evil.
Appreciate each one of you being out this morning. Just pray one for another as we dismiss. Would there be anything to be said? Don't forget tonight will be, we'll take our communion and our foot washing tonight because we had Brother Whitby and them with us last week. So we'll just take it tonight. Father, we appreciate your word. We ask you to dismiss us from one another, but never from your presence. Guide us by your understanding hand. Lift us up. Let it be you, Lord, that would give your people the spiritual revelation of your word. Forgive our sins. Teach us to wait on you. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.
Take the name of